Welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I'm your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Charles C. Childers, who is dedicated to supporting visionaries, big dreamers, and high achievers like you. My passion and calling is normalizing those big, audacious dreams and desires and shedding light on the very real inner experiences that are unique to our journey. It's what makes this podcast so special, that we can come together as big dreamers and high achievers and be in a safe space with each other to be real, raw, transparent, and vulnerable while also being inspired. Yes, we are here to do amazing things in this world and to leave a lasting legacy. And the best way that we can achieve that is by being the fullest, most aligned version of ourselves. Through authentic interviews with fellow big dreamers, practical tools, resources, and actionable strategies, let's step into our fullest potential and create the life of success, impact, and legacy that we desire. If you're ready to align your belief system and upgrade your nervous system with your Mount Everest-sized goals and embrace the unique internal journey along the way, then you've come to the right place. I'm so glad you pressed play, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Now let's begin. I don't know about you, but I love different experiences. I love to go out to eat to different restaurants. I love traveling to different places. I just love doing different things. Now, this absolutely drives my husband bonkers because after 17 years of being together, how many different things can we do in one city? Yes, there are a lot of things to do in Charlotte, but how many different things can we actually do? And every time we have a date night, he laughs because I'm always like, I want to do something different. I want to do something different. I don't know if you could relate to that at all. One of my favorite things that we have been doing recently over the past few years is we bought scooters, all four of us, both my kids, my husband and I. We all have our own scooters, and yes, it's fun when we go on vacation to take our scooters, like when we went to Jekyll Island and we rode our scooters all over the island. That was so fun. But one of the things, especially that my husband and I love to do in the rare times that we get a date night, is we love picking different spots in the city to just go and ride scooters. So one time we went to Uptown Charlotte, and we just rode our scooters around, and we didn't even really know where we were going. We just rode our scooters, rode through different neighborhoods and saw different things. And then we found this really, what wound up being a really wonderful sushi restaurant, and we ate there. So we'll just pick different cities in when it's warm outside, and we'll just ride scooters. And I just love the different perspectives. We get to see how different people live. We get to experience the different restaurants. And I don't know about you, I would love to hear from you. When it comes, are you someone who likes to do different things, or are you someone like my mom who loves going to the same restaurant? She has her favorite restaurants, her favorite places that she vacations. And so why do I bring this up? Because it's now getting warm outside, and so I'm all excited for scooter season to begin. So stay tuned to hear about that, where we choose to ride our scooters throughout Charlotte. Almost like, catch us if you can. Catch us. Can you spot them in Charlotte? That's so funny. But also because that ties into today's episode, which we're talking to my friend Diamond UL. He is absolutely amazing. His energy, his personality. You are just going to get so much value out of being in that present. Oh, first and foremost, if you're just having a day where you're not really feeling it, that you could just use a boost of motivation and inspiration, this conversation is going to do that for you. Another thing is that Di has such a unique perspective, and I think we can learn so much from each other in hearing from each other's experiences. So that's exactly what you're going to hear in today's episode. We're going to talk to Di. He's going to share a little bit about his story and the craziness, honestly, the crazy adventure that he's been on the past few years, all for the sake of giving us permission to live outside the box, giving ourselves permission to really own who we want to be, what we feel called to do, and giving ourselves permission to step into that life that we want. So grab your earbuds and tune in to this awesome conversation with Di.
Di, thank you so much for being here. I absolutely love your energy. And just like Kobe Bryant, you are the epitome of girl dad. You are the absolute epitome with your energy, with your light, with it's just so infectious. And not only that, your work is amazing, which we'll definitely get into. But just thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
You know, Charlsie, since we've connected, and obviously I did the usual thing like you do, we go and we creep each other on social, right? And I was like, whoa, I have met my match. So it was like so cool because I was like attracts like, right? And you're out there just, man, goodness, like just moving and shaking, but making such a huge impact in your communities locally and globally. And I just got to say, I'm super honored to be here today. This is awesome. I've been looking forward to this for a while. So, yeah, rock and roll.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that, Di. And one thing that I just feel compelled to start off with is I'm sure, just like me, we get a lot of compliments on our energy and our positivity and our light and all of it is so wonderful and so appreciative. At the same time, I have heard from people, is that true? Can you really live that way the vast majority of the time? And I know the answer for myself. I have chills right now to back up that answer within myself, actually. But I want to hear it from you because I know that this type of energy, this type of confidence and solidity in who we are and what we're here to do in this world and how we're here to do it cannot be faked or forced. So I just want to hear the answer from you.
I like to let people know, listen, I'm just a guy. All right. I'm a guy like any other guy, but I've done some things and I've made some big decisions and I've made some big mistakes, but I've learned from them and I've grown from them and I've moved on. And as my wife and I always joke, we're both sick with the sickness and it's called PMA. It's chronic positive mental attitude. But full disclosure, I'm naturally more introverted than extroverted. And I realized a long time ago, I wanted to make a bigger impact. I wanted to make a difference. And I knew to do that, I was going to have to get out of my own way. And for me to step into that sort of extroverted space and that extroverted energy to want to give and inspire and motivate, but also while educating and supporting people, because it fulfills me, makes me feel good. And it's like this self-fulfilling cycle. I help them and I see the results. I see their energy improve and it gets my energy up. And it's this nice synergistic relationship. But, and there's always a big but, because I'm naturally introverted, I recognize that I need my good downtime, my solo time. And so I've learned how to navigate that struggle with the juggle of how I'm managing my commitments. So I do continuously make non-negotiable commitments to myself so I can keep my battery charged, keep my cup filled. And so it runneth over so I can fill other people's cups. So it is a choice and it's something I've had to learn. And it's taken 46 years to get to this place. And I just wanted to say that. So yeah, I choose to be like this and it's a lot of fun and it's great, but I also have downtime for myself so I can keep showing up like this.
Oh, such great points that not only is it natural and real, also it's intentionally cultivated is what I hear in everything that you said is whatever it looks like for you, whatever it looks like for me, we just intentionally take care of ourselves and take care of our energy and getting to that place so that we can run it over type of strategy and mentality. Yeah.
Jumping in here, guys, let's talk about this. Let's pull back the layers on everything that Di's talking about when it comes to self-care and downtime and pouring into ourselves, because I know that I've seen in quite a few of my clients and I've had quite a few conversations about this, even on the podcast, Zach White's episode, I think it was two episodes ago, really comes up for me when I think about this. So this is exactly what Zach and I were talking about, where it's the sense that yes, we are high achievers. We want more. We want to make a big impact. We know that we're called to something greater than ourselves. And not only that, but we have the drive and the determination, the tenacity to go after it. However, we can get caught in this cycle of relying on our action in order to build our legacy, to build our dreams, that we rely on action alone. And we're almost afraid to take time for ourselves. We're afraid to slow down and take our foot off of the gas. And this is a really slippery slope, because there can come a point when our worth and who we are gets entangled with what we do. And that's not the kind of energy we want to bring into our mission and our legacy. We want to come from this pure place of bringing this love and bringing this greatness into this world. So when we feel like we got to keep going in terms of taking action, whether it be we have to connect with the investors or the donors, we have to plan the next event, we have to gather the materials, we have to create the designs, we have to physically do all of these things, it can feel good in the moment while we're doing this. It can even feel like a rush or a high, almost like an addiction of we are literally on this humongous mission, an assignment that is being called through us, but we're not taking time for ourselves. We're sacrificing our sleep. We're not being present with our family sometimes because we're so busy thinking, planning, strategizing, plotting for the next thing to come. We feel like we can't afford to take our foot off of the gas, else we're going to lose momentum, that everything we've been doing is going to crack or collapse. And that's just a really hard space to be in. Believe me, I've been there before. And it is so tempting for me too sometimes. Oh, just push through. Oh, just keep going. Oh, you can't stop now. You got to get to the next thing. You got to do it. You got to keep pushing forward, or else you're going to feel like you are almost abandoning the very thing that you feel called to do. And who's got time to slow down? Who has time to rest? Who has time to fill your own cup? Once I reach the goal, once I make an impact, once I see that I am physically making a difference in the world, then I will take the time to slow down and take the time to pour into myself. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought that to yourself? Because taking time for yourself can feel selfish, like you're betraying your very cause, especially when you're helping people. That's your heart. You want to help people. You want to make an impact. I so get it, but it's a really hard and necessary thing to shift, because you are a key component of the equation. I think we forget that sometimes, that in our calling, we are a key component of it. Our calling, our dreams, they need us. They need us to be strong. They need us to be well. They need us to be whole and complete, so that we can approach it from a place of inspiration rather than our calling or our desires feeling more like an obligation, feeling more like something that we are bound to and that we are bondage to. Yes, people need what you're creating and what you're doing, but like I said, what they need even more is you feeling good about you, you feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. They need the best you, not the leftover you. And yes, the you that's busy rushing around from one thing to the next and is trying so hard just to expand your reach, to expand the awareness, to get your name out there, get your designs, get your creation, get your business out there. All of things are so great. But when we're burnt out, when we feel like we are depriving ourselves, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. So there's a really big shift that we can make here, where we can still have our drive, tenacity, and determination. We can still be a high achiever and fully capable of doing so, so much, while at the same time letting it be natural, letting it be easy, letting it come from a place of truly being lit up and inspired rather than forced. Because you're afraid to lose everything. Rather than things feeling hard or us being in this frantic, rushing around, can never get it done state, That's actually a sign that we're acting on our desires from a limited and unsupportive place. That's the key here, is that when we're rushing around, even though what we're rushing around on is an actual really good thing, the energy behind it and the why, so to speak, behind it, we can feel like we're doing it because we want to do good, but really it's coming from this limited, unsupportive place of, I'm afraid that if I don't do this, then my business is going to fall through. I'm afraid that if I don't show up, if I don't post every day, then I'm not going to grow in the amount of time that I want to grow. But our calling is supposed to flow through us like a river, meaning that, let's see, let me explain it this way and add some tangibleness to the conversation, because like I said, that I can very much relate to this. And I fall into this trap every now and then where I get so focused on what I'm doing that I forget to pause. But I can notice a distinct difference. Like this morning, I was sitting in the bathtub this morning, and ideas for my content, for my TikTok videos, for BTG content, it was just flooding to me in overflow. It's almost like I couldn't write fast enough. Or then a little bit later when I was meditating and my next YouTube video came to mind and content for module one was coming to me. And so I was doing these things like taking a bath and meditating. So I wasn't working per se, but at the same time, I had more ideas coming to me and in less time than if I were to sit down at my desk and grab a pencil and say, okay, my TikTok video for today is module one of BTG is going to be on this. But when I was sitting in the bathtub and ideas were just coming to me, I wasn't working, but yet I was working. It's just a very different energy. And so from that, I had my to-do list already created for the day. There was no sitting down after I got dressed and finished working out, meditating. There was no sitting down and writing my to-do list. My to-do list had literally already come to me this morning in the bathtub and when I was meditating. But it's funny because I was literally taking time for myself. I was doing things that fill me up and things were just popping off. So now not only is my to-do list already been written, my content for the day has already been planned, and I just spent the morning basking in self-care. It honestly makes no sense that it is counter to what we typically do as high achievers. We typically think of this to-do list or our content or what we're creating from this place of doing, but it's such an interesting place when we can truly prioritize our being, our health, our wellness, our peace, how we're feeling in the moment, and then receiving the ideas, receiving the thoughts, receiving the inspiration. So I just wanted to add on this little depth of the conversation that Di and I were having about self-care, because I know several of you have reached out to me and mentioned that you know that you need to take time for yourself, but you are just too busy to, that you physically don't have enough time in the day. Not to mention the guilt and the selfishness that comes up from it. And I get it. I get it, you guys. So I wanted to jump in here. I hope something I said really resonates with you. And I encourage you, if you don't take downtime for yourself already, use this as a sign to challenge yourself to block out 10 or 15 minutes and just allow yourself to truly be. Truly be. And then keep doing that, build on that, and just notice even the subtle shift that you feel and how much energy you have in your day, and more importantly, how you're able to give your best energy to the best things in your life.
To life. And so now talk to us. I want to give the listeners a little bit. A TEDx speaker, you're an author, you have mentorship Mondays for men, you date your wife of 23 years, you have two beautiful daughters, you guys spent 5 years traveling. So just hitting all of the bullet points on that, everything that I just said for the most part is outside of the box. It is truly a life that you created and built with yourself. So where do you feel like that came from, that desire or that drive, that courage to go after that type of life?
I have to acknowledge my parents as being the first inputs. And more, if we think about this, Chelsea, like, how do we all learn and grow? We learn through mentorship and modeling. We model things that we see, things that we hear. We watch people do certain things, then we try to do it ourselves if it's of interest or something that we want. So we have that sort of modeling or role modeling. But there's also mentorship where there's people that are a few steps ahead on that same journey that we're wanting to take. And it's like, hey, do you mind giving me a hand? I see you're over here doing these things, and I really want to get closer to that too. And so this mentorship opportunity, it goes both directions, right? Whether we're a mentee or becoming a mentor for someone else. And when you truly grasp that, you start to recognize all the different inputs that have influenced us on our own journeys. And I'll go as far as they are hero journeys, right? Those paths that we choose to carve out in our lives that allow us to achieve greater senses of happiness, also greater amounts of joy, but also a greater sense of fulfillment. And with all that being said, my parents, they were, and I'm going to talk about my dad first, a workaholic, okay? And I know sometimes that's a badge of honor, especially today in our society, right? I remember Gary Vaynerchuk coming out with all his content, hustle, right? It's like, yeah, you work your 9 to 5, but then you work your 5 to midnight. It's not sustainable, okay? But this hustle lifestyle has been glorified. And then all of a sudden now we hear a popular term called burnout. And we got to wonder, okay, is there a connection here? And there is. And so my parents, my dad worked a lot, built a very successful veterinary practice. I got to watch that from the sideline, see him occasionally every other weekend after my parents separated and divorced. I was 9, my brother was 7. So we still got to see that work ethic. And it was his number one baby, right? It was his business. So we got to watch that, the pros and the cons. My mom, she always loved to learn. She was a registered nurse, but she wanted to go back to school to get her master's degree, not only so she could provide for my brother and I better, but also so she could exercise more independence for herself and have more control over her lifestyle. And she went back to school in like her late 30s, early 40s. I was just a kid at the time. But watching her do that while still working her usual nursing shifts on top of that, it was just amazing to see that work ethic. And my mom's always been the kind of person that's always out there doing stuff. She got into little theater as if she had time to do that, but she did it. Got into acting, got into directing because she just loved it. Joined a couple quilting clubs, a walking club. Like, just my mom was always doing stuff, right? Very social. So those two very different inputs and observations, they did influence me and who I've slowly become. But then I met my wife and she shifted everything for me because she was more lifestyle focused and experience focused. She's a minimalist. She's someone that's, no, I'm rich in life experiences. I don't care about money. I want to be comfortable, but I don't need to collect stuff. I don't need to have stuff. I want to have experiences and I want to travel. When we start about having kids, and she's, I want to be able to travel and experience life with my kids. I don't want to wait till we're older and they're older to do those things, because then who knows if we can even do it at that point, or if that will even happen. Who knows? There's lots of strange things that happen. Like when we just had a pandemic, the world shut down for a couple of years. I'm like, whoa, none of us expected that. So those are all sort of little pieces that have influenced who I am now, but also is influencing who I am continuously evolving into. And so those are just some small little inputs. And I've had a couple of really cool business mentors as well, which have really helped me in my entrepreneurial journey. But I've always struggled finding somebody that seems to not only have the professional side figured out, but also have the personal side figured out. And I think that's a struggle that many of us deal with at various stages in our lives. And I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Charlesy.
Oh my goodness. Di, first of all, I have to say that you just said so much good stuff there. So much good stuff. And I feel with this, I don't know, you said personal and professional, which I love that instead of the work-life balance, because the goal is for us to love what we do, right? Professional and personal. And I feel like to what you were talking about with your story is I hear of you really looking at these influential people in your life and drawing upon certain aspects of who they are and who they're in their life and the choices that they've made, and then allowing yourself to make your own choices. Whereas for me in my story, I don't know when it came about, but it just came about of I go to school, I get my master's, I get married, I have kids, and I just went along with it. And I was like, okay, I'll do this and do this. And then I literally woke up one day and I was like, whoa, I do not want to do this. I am not happy. I am not fulfilled. This is not what I thought I was signing myself up for. And so to answer your question, I feel like pressure and expectations and being who we believe we should be and who others believe we should be rather than who we really are. I feel like those three are really just sticking out to me, maybe through my own story. Do you have anything you want to add on that?
Just what you just said, I think was one of the most poignant things I've heard in a long time, only because it's the awareness of that influence on us and our choices and the paths that we decide to follow in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, did I choose to follow this path or was I influenced or maybe voluntold to go that route, right? And there's a woman by the name of Bronnie Ware out of Australia, and she wrote a book called The Five Regrets of the Dying. And what's really fascinating is she had just a wonderful bedside manner with these patients. And these are people that are at end of life. And she's really just there to make them comfortable. And not only was she making them comfortable, she decided to have conversations with them. Because a lot of times people in long-term care are on their own for that final journey. And so here she is, not only being friendly, but actually cares. And she starts to have these conversations. And she starts to ask one question in particular and document all the answers that she receives. And the questions, the question she was asking, is there anything that you regret not doing with your life? Everybody she documented these responses from had one of five answers, if not all five. One of them was, I wish I lived the life I wanted to live and not the life others expected of me. So what you just said is one of those prime five regrets of the dying. And also you alluded to one, again, when you talked about this choice of being happy, because happiness is a choice. But one of the regrets was, I wish I allowed myself to be happier, which implies it's a choice. It's up to us to decide, do we want to be happier or not? And it's just so insightful to see people at this end of life thinking back on all the things that they've done. And yet these are the things that they're ruminating over. I didn't allow myself to be happier. I really could have been happier. Geez, I did all this stuff. I got a job. I went to school and I only did it for my parents. No, I didn't really do it for me. So I don't want to get to be 120 and think back and think, oh man, I really wish I did when I could have. It's amazing. She's got a great TED Talk, and the book's a really short, easy read as well. So Five Regrets of the Dying, Bronnie Ware. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, such a good book. Such a good book. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to read it. I'm a bookworm, so I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And I absolutely love this conversation centered around the expectations and giving ourselves permission to really go after just what lights us up, the life that we envision for ourselves, what we want in life. Maybe we don't even know what we want in life, but we know what we don't want. Is a lot of times easier to identify. I don't want be stressed. I don't want to feel horrible about myself every day. I don't want to be maybe overweight or unhealthy, or we can name so many things that we don't. And so sometimes that's a better place to start. And I don't know why I just mentioned that, but I feel for those out there who are listening. And I know that with a lot of my clients, they don't know their purpose yet. They're still in the process of receiving, what am I here to do? Who am I here to be in this world? And that is totally okay. So I want to just pour into a little bit that if you're in that space, then start with what you don't want in this life and what you don't want to feel, who you don't want to model. No shame against them. All about awareness, right? All about awareness. So good. So good. And so, Di, like, from this life that you've cultivated, first, if you will, just share with us like one or two experiences that have been totally outside the box. I know one could be you traveled for 5 years, just to give the listeners a little insight into what your life looks like and the life that you've created for you and your family.
Thank you. We're a big fan of reverse engineering. All right. And life is one of those things you can reverse engineer. But as you said earlier, Charles, it's having a clear idea of actually what you want, but also very clear on what you don't want, because we don't want to compromise. Right. If we get into a habit of compromising, it's not going to make us feel very fulfilled. In fact, we're going to feel like we're maybe content, but not happy. And I don't want anyone to limit themselves from what their potential is. And I know what that's like. Okay. Straight up. My previous company, I was a co-founder of, I was actively involved in operating that company for 17 years. And we scaled, we grew, We had a lot of people we were responsible for, because not only immediately within the people that were directly working for us, but a lot of the other people in the various communities that we had our retail stores. So it was this, so there's a lot of pressure, but also on top of that, you got to keep the lights on. You got to get people fed. You got to pay the suppliers. Being in the retail sector, it's like putting on the boxing gloves and getting in the ring every day. And I was selling fitness equipment, accessories, apparel, supplements, all the cool fitness toys. And I really enjoyed it. I was very fortunate that he was one of my first entrepreneurial mentors, was my business partner in that business, but he was 20 years my senior. And he started mentoring me in my early 20s. And so at that point, he was a few years younger than I am now. And so at that point in time, I looked at him, I thought, wow, he's got kids. He's got a great, beautiful wife that fully supports him and helps. And she's a teacher as well. And they got these two great kids. I'm like, he's got a nice, beautiful home. I want that. And for a long time, I was chasing his life. 17 years later, I woke up and I was like, I'm chasing his life. I'm not chasing my own life. And because I was also experiencing a lot of burnout, I had been diagnosed with a chronic health autoimmune condition. And so there was these little bells going off saying, sheesh, is this it? Is this my path for the next 20 to 30 years, potentially? Do I really want that? And those questions are hard to ask, especially I'm 17 years in. I'm a co-founder of this company. I'm like, I wasn't thinking I was going to be switching gears and moving completely to a different lane. But when I had that realization that really the life that I was chasing was his life, it made the decision really easy. Also, because my wife was very encouraging and she's, there's so much that we could do. The kids are still young enough that they think we're cool. They like hanging out with us, but that window is closing. And so she had always expressed when we first started dating, she had a love of travel and she stopped traveling around the world so she could be with me. And she knew I couldn't travel at the time because I was starting this company. And so she made some commitments and sacrifices to align our lives together. And for that, I will always be grateful. But when opportunity came, she was dripping on me, sending me podcasts of these traveling families. There's nomadic families that people aren't even aware. There's these huge communities around the world of these nomadic families that travel and visit and meet up with each other in different countries. It's amazing. Helps teach each other's kids and support their kids. And you know, we call it life schooling. And my wife's like, could we do that? I'm like, I'm sure we could do it. Do you want to do it? I'm like, it sounds crazy, but I'm in. And so I quit my career of 17 years and I didn't quit it at a good time. It's not like I could make it like a bandit, even though we were doing literally 10 million a year. There was a lot of overhead and we were in a bit of a down economy at the time in our space, our industry. And so it wasn't like we were massively profitable, but also on the same note, because we weren't massively profitable, it was also an easier decision to make. It's like less vested, right? And so I just exited out. I was done. I'm gone. A month later, my wife quit her job, her career. 2 months after that, we pulled the kids out of school. And we didn't have a ton of savings. We had some savings, but I had reinvested a lot of that to publish my book because I wanted to go a hybrid model. It's self-published, but with a publisher because I wanted to retain all control and all rights to all the content. I was not willing to relinquish that. And actually, I was paying for a lot of the extras, the pieces that they would normally pay for. And so a lot of that, we started just basically investing in our future through that vehicle. We weren't buying crypto. We weren't buying real estate. We were basically buying our own future, but putting a down payment on the dream that we had for this new life. And we had no idea where it was going to go. And we pulled the kids out. We gave away all our stuff and we packed up our SUV. We just said, okay, it was winter in Vancouver. Okay. I'm up here in Canada, the Great White North. And it was pretty cold. And so it was easy because we both like the sun. And so we're like, let's go south. With no plan. We had no plan. People are always like, where were you going to go first? I was like, we had friends in Seattle. So we thought we'll stop at their place first and we'll see where we go from there. Either way, we started out on this journey. It lasted about 5 years. And at the time I had transitioned to doing things online, like coaching. I was also doing a lot more speaking. I was working with a lot of different brands on digital strategies. So I was doing little bits here and there, but it was enough to keep us going on this lifestyle. And soon enough, a couple of years in, we stayed in North America predominantly because we wanted to be close to get back to Toronto, where my father was dealing with some health issues, some serious health issues, pancreatic issues, which led to pancreatic cancer, and which eventually took his life. But we wanted to be close enough so we could spend that with him. Now, because I made these big changes, it was crazy. We had 6 months to spend with him during end of life. Had I not made that bold decision to leave a career of 17 years, I would not have had that luxury nor that space to do that. So it's weird how things just happen. when we make these big decisions, we're not sure of how it's going to result later. And it's amazing what can come of those big decisions and the other doors that may open for us later. And after my dad passed, a couple months later, we're looking at each other. So we want to go overseas? We're like, yeah, let's go overseas. Where do we want to go first? Let's go to Bali. So we found a place on Airbnb, rented it for 3 months. We're like, okay, we're going to go there for 11 and a half weeks. While we were there, hey, it's really nice here. And I was like, I can keep doing my work here too. Should we stay a bit? Sure, why not? 2.5 years later. And we had traveled around Southeast Asia from there. And we're just really just enjoying creating a lot of new experiences, but also just a lot of new memories. And our kids were there every step of the way. I started a Toastmasters group when I was over there. I became a president of a couple Toastmasters groups. I was speaking at all the co-working spaces regularly. There was a lot of cool opportunities and got into some retreats. So there's all these went out and made opportunities happen, just like you do, Charles. You get out there, you connect with people, you share that energy, that desire, you share what you're working towards, and people naturally want to support each other. And I'm very grateful for those communities. And 2.5 years after that, our kids, we always said, if you wanted to go back to Vancouver to finish school, we would honor that. And sure enough, my two daughters are like, yeah, we want to go back to high school. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Are you my kids? Because if I was a kid and I was doing this and living this life and you're getting surf lessons and are you sure? Yeah, yeah, we're sure. So we transitioned back. But here's the crazy thing. Literally, they came back before me. I came back 6 months after they had already come back to settle in because I had some commitments to follow through on. Got back. And literally, it was 6 weeks later, the world shut down. Again, timing. We had no idea there was going to be a pandemic. I would have got stuck in Bali and could have been separated from my family for quite a period of time. But everything works out. It really does. We truly believe things work out. They always will. It's as Buddha said, this too shall pass, whether it's hard or good stuff, it will eventually just pass and we get through it. And so that's it. You talk about out of the box. It's, yeah, it was a big, scary decision. We had no idea what the future is going to look like, but we did not want to be talking about it 20 years from now and saying, hey, we had that crazy idea to take the kids out of school, get rid of all our stuff. And you quit your job. I quit my job and we go travel the world. Remember that crazy idea? Man, I really wish we did that. That was not a conversation I was willing to have with my wife.
Oh my goodness. I just eat up your story. It's the epitome of trust and courage and not just stepping outside of the box, but not creating a box for yourself. Yeah. There's just so much in it. The focusing on what you do want. And then the things that you don't want. You knew that you didn't want cold. So you guys left. You knew you were going south, but you also knew you wanted to stay in the U.S. and just taking... It's so easy for us to dismiss, for us to get into this doing day to day after day, hustle and grind and forget that what we want and what we don't want is so valuable. It is so important. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Di. And I just love the beautiful full circle-ness, if that's a word, full circle-ness.
I think so. Hey, listen, my wife and I have our own internal language as well. So it's all good. Don't worry. I go with it.
One day I'll start the travel dictionary.
As far as I'm concerned. That's totally. And you know what? Full disclosure, there was a lot of fear there too. But there's the fear of not doing and there's the fear of doing. And we went through an exercise that I remember learning from Tim Ferriss on one of his podcasts. And then eventually he did a TED talk about it. But this exercise called fear setting, this idea of literally asking yourself, what's the worst that could happen if we do this? What's the worst that could happen if we don't do this? And when you start to rationalize our fear, right? Because fear is highly irrational most of the time. It's knee-jerk reactions. It's reactionary. It's adrenaline. It's no. It's I want to live. I'm going to die if I do that. I get it. Fear plays a very important role in keeping us preserved and thriving. However, it also limits us in a lot of ways. And when we went through the exercises, we were like, really, the worst that could happen is maybe we get sick. Okay, that's fair. We can deal with that if we get there. Maybe we run out of money. Oh, yeah, that's a very real thing. Like, what do we do then? We have family that loves us. We have family that has couches. We have family that would support us if we moved and relocated back. And we already knew that my wife and I were highly employable. So we know that we can find work. We'll be okay. What are we really afraid of doing? And really, when it came down to it, we had more fear of not doing it, which made the decision very easy. As intimidating as it was. And so that's just one exercise. I just wanted to be real with people. It's not, even though we did it on a whim, like it was like very quick. Like it was like literally 5 month process from the time when we had a little bit of a conversation. And then it was like, okay, sayonara, we're going south. Like it was pretty quick. So, anyways, I just thought I'd share that because I thought that was a really useful exercise that really helped us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Because obviously the polarity side to courage and the leaps and all of, there's a whole bunch of fear. There's a whole bunch of other things that can come up. So thank you for adding that in as well. And oh yeah, so the full circleness of all of this,
Yes.
now with your energy and your positivity being so solid in who you are as a man, as a dad, as a husband, as an entrepreneur, as an author, as we can go, keep going, as a friend, as all of these things, as an amazing human as you are, how do you think your energy from an overall standpoint ties into the fact that you are truly living a life that you love and have created yourself and are creating for yourself?
Oh, thank you. There's always areas that I feel could shift or change or improve or evolve is probably a more appropriate word. And so it's really giving it the attention and time and energy, potentially sometimes resources, to allow that to grow, to change, to become something different than it is currently. And I think the thing with my wife and I, we're okay with change. We are. We're okay with it. We have, as I say, a champion mindset when it comes to change. You know what I mean? We're not necessarily always reactionary or avoiding change or feeling like we're a victim of it. It's, you know what? We're capable human beings. We have our health. We have our family. We have each other. We have our experiences. What else is there, right? We have the ability to make change happen when we want it to happen, but also at the same time, navigate the change when it feels like it's coming and uh-oh, here it is. As I always say, it was 1982 when Indiana Jones came out, right? The Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the first 5 minutes, Indiana Jones is like, oh my gosh, there's this big boulder chasing me. I got to run away. That's a great metaphor for how most of us relate to change. Change is the boulder. We're Indiana Jones. We're just trying to keep away from it and fear that it's going to bowl us over and completely demolish us. But the thing is, change, it doesn't have to be seen that way. We all go through change. It's the only thing that we know to be absolutely certain in anything is that nothing stays as it is. Nothing. Buddha said it 2,600 years ago. In the last 100 years, science caught up and said, hey, Buddha was right. Everything's just a bunch of empty space and there's this law of entropy. Energy's always changing. Wow, change is always happening. Yeah, it is. So when you accept that and you recognize you can have a relationship with change, both personally and professionally, you'll navigate it from a better place, a healthier place. It's not always going to be easy. Most of the time, in my experience, the change has been worth it. And so it's trusting that the change is going to bring you through to something new and exciting and maybe closer to that vision that you set out in mind of achieving. But anybody, as you're working with your clients, Charles, you're creating these amazing visions for what is not only potential, but what can be the reality of people's lives and that connectedness to that purpose, that passion, that meaning. And it's wow. But to go from where we are now to get there, it's going to involve a lot of change, a lot of change. And that's okay. It's okay because you'll be okay. You'll get through it. This too shall pass. Yeah. Anyways, that's all I got to say about that.
Oh my goodness gracious, you are absolutely hilarious. I'm so honored to call you friend and to have you on the show. But Di, just thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for being here. Thank you for pouring into us. And thank you for creating the way and not just being a role model as someone who inspires us, but somebody just through your life. It brings, I feel like it brings the belief in us a little bit more than that. It's not only possible, it's doable, it's here, it's achievable. Like we could do this. This isn't just some fluffy Pinterest thing or something that I don't know why Mel Robbins just came to mind, but somebody like that who talks about these things. No, you are a dad, a husband, you're just a guy who's doing it. And just thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for paving the way and thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Charles. It's been an absolute honor. And thank you for creating the space for us to be flies on the wall and listen to these conversations that you're having with amazing individuals that are making big changes and difference and impacts in the world. And just, man, you are just awesome. I just got to say that. You are awesome. Your energy is fantastic. And this has just been a really fulfilling conversation. So thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Di.
And that concludes our episode and our time with Di Manuel. I hope you're walking away from this episode feeling inspired to give yourself permission to live outside of the box, to step outside of the box, to not even define yourself or confine yourself to a box in the first place, to give yourself permission to travel, do schooling differently with your kids, whatever it is that you feel called to. I hope that you're walking out of this episode with knowing that it's okay to give yourself permission. And this can also apply to the very small things in life. I remember recently where I felt inspired to switch gears on the program that I was focusing on at that moment. So I had opened the doors to one of my programs called Anchored, but that particular day I felt so inspired to shift gears and actually open the doors to BTG instead. And so you can see through this very small example, it could be so seemingly small as that. And please apply this to your own life and your own calling, your own purpose, what you're working on. But even in the small, giving ourselves permission to step outside of the box and to know that it's okay to switch gears. It's okay that, yes, you had one original plan, and then now if you want to change course and change directions and go in a different plan or do things differently than what you've been taught to do, it's okay. It's okay. And whether those desires are big or small, give yourself permission to trust yourself that they are on your heart for a reason, and that they're there for a reason, either because somebody needs what you have to offer in that particular moment. I think about Di, his daughters had the desire to come back to school and they didn't really understand it. So sometimes our desires don't make sense. In fact, a lot of times we're building a legacy and pursuing our dreams. A lot of times our desires don't make sense, but giving yourself permission to trust that they are there for a reason and it is safe to follow them, and that no matter what, you're going to be okay. You are going to be safe, that you are so deeply divinely supported and guided. And if you caught that, after he came back, the world shut down because of the pandemic. And so a lot of times we're not going to be able to connect one stone to the next or one desire to the next. But if we can give ourselves permission to follow whatever it looks like, despite the maybe the expectation or the pressure that we feel. I actually talked about this recently on Instagram, and what I said, I wanted to read this word for word because I feel like it was so empowering and so helpful for me in that moment when I gave myself permission to close doors to Anchored and to essentially not follow through with what I originally set out and to just act on it. So I said, here's to giving ourselves permission, allowing ourselves to flow or evolve, not feeling wrong for switching gears, knowing that it's not a weakness to let things be different than we originally planned. Remember, embracing change is a sign of strength and growth. Give yourself permission to evolve and trust the process. Trust the process. I feel so inclined to say it again, that whatever it is, whatever desire is on your heart right now in this moment, as you've been listening to this episode, whether it's big or small, how can you give yourself permission? Just ask yourself, how can I give myself permission to either follow this or to make steps in following this? Because I don't know if you can tell, but Di seems so satisfied and so fulfilled and so thankful that he stepped out and took the leaps of faith that he did. And I can tell you from my own experience, oh my gosh, whether it's something big as in allowing myself to leave my corporate career that I thought I was going to be building until I die, when I gave myself permission to leave my corporate career, and then to now, I am so much happier, more satisfied, and so fulfilled. Even in doing something so simple, as I've been talking about, opening the doors to BTG. I know that's what I meant to do in that timing. And I feel so satisfied and so grateful and so excited to be following that, even though I have no idea why. And to be honest with you, because I hadn't planned on opening the doors to BTG, I don't have the things necessarily prepared like I usually do. But I'm just following the inspiration of that. I am trusting that I can do this, that I can build it, that I can be talking about BTG while also doing the prep things, the logistical things that I do. Like, I can handle both. I can do both. So I am so excited for how empowered you must be feeling right now. If you will, go ahead and either leave a review on the podcast episode and let me know what you are giving yourself permission on. Or you can tag me in it on Instagram at Charles C. Childers. And let's stay connected. I want to cheer you on. I want to support you. I want to encourage you, because I know it a lot of times can be easier said than done to give ourselves permission to do certain things. So be sure to do that. And if you're in a space right now where you are wanting to feel more satisfied in life, you're wanting to feel more fulfilled on your journey by embodying the belief that what you want is possible, that you can do it, that everything is working out for you and it's working in your favor. If you want to really solidify this resolve and this conviction within yourself, rather than waiting on the external to show you that it's possible, to show you that you can do this, then BTG is for you. I haven't officially opened the doors, but I wanted to go ahead and invite you as a podcast listener. If you go to charlescchilders.com/BTG, then you can get $700 off. If you feel inspired, then go check it out. See if this step is right for you, because you never know until you go. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and until next time.